Listen to this call to worship God together as his people. I'm going to read the first chunk of Psalm 95. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Val Court is going to come up and read from the book of Ephesians as the Apostle Paul describes the life of the church. Thanks, Val.
Our reading this morning is taken from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 to 16. And it's in the Church Bibles on page 826. Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse 7. But to each one of us grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It is he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for the works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of doctrine, and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is, Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work.
Reclaiming Church, that's our teaching series through the early part of the autumn program. And I want to begin this morning, though, with a couple of pictures. The first represents perhaps the dominant view of life today. There he is, the individual who heroically stands alone, juggling the various responsibilities of his or her life, job, leisure, time for coffee with friends, of course, in Starbucks or wherever, family commitments, financial planning issues. All of that, along maybe with a role as a school governor or the coach of the under-11s football. And of course, somewhere in all of that, there's church, which in our picture is one of the balls to be kept in the air. It's there. You see the sun is shining like this morning above the steeple. And sometimes, of course, the sheer pressure of our lives means that we just can't keep juggling all the balls. There aren't enough hands and there aren't enough hours in the week. Something has to give. Something has to be dropped. Okay, let's look at the second picture now. Where here, activities and responsibilities are spokes on a wheel. And notice it's not the individual in the middle trying to keep it all going. It's as persons in community, relating the various parts of our lives to the center. You see, in this alternative model, the church as community isn't another ball for me to juggle. No, the church as community, persons in community, that's what defines who I am and gives significant shape to my life. It's in relationship to others who share my faith that my identity as a human being, of course broken by sin, yet loved by God, forgiven by Christ, and filled by God's Spirit, it's in that context that my identity as a human being finds its fullest expression. That's the hub, you see, which makes sense of everything, keeping it all in balance and providing the resources for my spiritual growth. Ephesians 4 is all about how the church, as a community of faith, can provide the best possible context for that spiritual growth. And the key question raised by this morning's title, Get in Shape for Growth, is not the question, how many newcomers this month, how many baptisms this year, how many are now in small groups, how many new programs are we starting? No, the key question is, how does what we do and who we are help someone to grow spiritually? How does that ministry in Highfield help that individual to take the next steps in their Christian faith? How does the event that I am putting on, or the group I organize, how does that group root people into a living relationship with Jesus? You see, folks, that's what Highfields is in business for. To make us more devoted followers of Christ. The great purpose of the church is not to make you a better person, or a nicer neighbor, or a more helpful employee. Those are good byproducts. No, the great purpose of the church is to turn people into disciples of Christ and citizens of heaven. And that is not going to happen just because you attend Highfields or are involved in some of its activities. So what we need then, first of all, is the true measure of growth. Look now at the text with me, verse 13. The measure of growth. Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. Here's our target, you see. What we are aiming at as a church. We want to help people grow towards maturity. And in two directions. Notice what the verse says there. In the faith, until we all reach unity in the faith. That is, in our understanding of the faith, the Christian gospel. And in the other direction, look at the verse, and in the knowledge of the Son of God. That is, in our relationship to Jesus, knowing him better, loving him more. So that's our target. That's our goal. To increase our understanding of the faith, and to grow in our relationship to Jesus. So the primary purpose of Highfields is not to cram as many people as possible into the building on a Sunday through three services. No, that is not the purpose of Highfields. The purpose of Highfields is to create a community in which knowing and loving Jesus is what we are all and each excited about. My growth. Your growth. Our growth. Until, as the verse says, until we all reach unity in these things. A shared understanding of the gospel. A collective love for serving Christ. So as the 20s or the students, as members of a life group or one of our daytime groups get together, it's together as we grow. And as we do that, we become more united, more focused, and more like Christ. That's what the verse is saying. That's the end game. Now look at the final phrase of verse 13. Attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. What's a growing church look like then? Well, when the people we pray and study scripture with, the people we have coffee with between services or sit next to in church, those people are more like Jesus this week than they were last. That's when we're getting somewhere as a church. Not when the graphs are going up, but when people are loving Jesus more and grasping the truth of the gospel in a stronger way. So on the one hand, you see, we've got a picture there of dynamic growth. We never get to the point where we say, I've arrived. We are there. The measure of the fullness of Christ. Ha! We've got it. I don't need to grow anymore in my understanding of the faith or in my love for Jesus. No, a mature church, like the mature Christian, knows how much more maturing there is to be done. For we are all works in progress, aren't we? Or as Paul puts it in the previous verse, verse 12, and in verse 16, we are a body being built up, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. I think that's one of the great things about the Christian and the church. We never stop growing as a body towards our maturity. Unlike, of course, the human body. Parents wonder, don't they, if their teenage son will ever stop growing. Eventually they do. And then all of us reach a stage, I don't know, different for different ones of us, 40, 50, and it's all downhill after that. There's a point at which age and gravity, well, they simply take over. And everything appears to break down or fall apart or drop off. Happened to me on Thursday morning. I left my study and then I forgot why. I got up from the desk, made my way downstairs and up again. But when I got to the top of the stairs, I didn't know where I was going. I knew I was on my way somewhere, but couldn't work out why. Anyway, I went back to my room, sat at the desk again, answered a few phone calls, and an hour later remembered that I'd been heading towards the gents. It's true. Now, that sort of thing may not be happening to you yet. But here's the bad news. It will. Give it time. You get to 50, you leave a room, and you can't remember where you're going. And it takes you an hour to work it all out. But the good news is that as far as the body of Christ is concerned, it's onward and ever upward. There are no limits to its continuous growth. We're aiming at the measure of the fullness of Christ, remember. So guys, surely we're not going to settle down and coast to heaven. We've got more growing up to do. That's the point. The other picture we've got here is the corporate one. You see the key phrase, until we all reach unity. That's the true measure of growth. Everyone growing together. It all clicks. Christianity, fundamentally, is a team game. You know how you can have some brilliant individual footballers. But individual skill and personal development isn't the whole picture, is it? In team sports, the big question is, how well does the side play as a team? Bless her heart. Even Ann Widdecombe on Strictly Come Dancing can look half decent when Anton Dubek is your partner. It's a team game. That's why actively belonging to church, getting involved in a small group, it's crucial. We need each other to reach maturity. That's how we grow. Our contribution, our presence, our conversation, our encouragement, our prayers, our giving and serving. It's the team that counts. Now, I wonder if you still believe that. Because there's so much cynicism around today about authority structures of any kind. And there's a rampant individualism that says, well, if I don't like it, I'm going to vote with my feet. And church is often perceived in the same light as yet another authority structure which restricts self-expression. Be a team player. That is one of the features of Christianity. So the true measure of growth, the true purpose of the church is unity and maturity in the faith and in love for Jesus. Seeing numbers grow and seeing hearts grow are two very different things. And our target is to see hearts grow in love for Jesus and in grasping his truth. So the next question is, how are we going to get there? So let's look at that. The means of growth. If the measure of growth is unity and maturity in the faith and knowledge of the Son of God, how do we get there? The means of growth, 11 and 12. Let me share with you how one church struggled with precisely this issue of growth. 5 years ago, Willow Creek in Chicago asked the question, why are our people not growing? The leadership had become increasingly concerned about the lack of depth and commitment of its very, very large membership. So they commissioned a research project. It asked members of Willow Creek about their expectations of and commitment to the church. It established what people gave their money and their time to and what they didn't. It measured why people were stalled in their faith or dissatisfied with the church. And in April 2007, Bill Hybels, the senior pastor, laid out the implications of the research. Very bravely, he stood up one Sunday and said, we have been wrong. We need to rethink how we help as you pursue your spiritual growth. And as part of the ongoing process, during September 2008 through to March 2009, 376 other more diverse churches than Willow Creek and 80,000 further people were surveyed. And the results matched the previous 2 years' data locally. And it was all summarized in this way. How do you get a child to eat apples and green beans instead of chips and biscuits? Of course, the answer, as any parent of a small child knows, is with great difficulty. See, the issue here is the difference between what we want, biscuits and crisps and chocolate cake, what we want and what we need in life. Willow Creek realized that if people are going to grow in their faith and their love for Jesus, then they have to work out the difference spiritually between apples and sticky toffee pudding. The research team discovered that what makes people grow was, one, when they accept responsibility for their own spiritual growth, two, when they are provided with spiritual guidance, and three, when they are presented with spiritual challenges. Now, they may not want those things, but they need them to grow. Now, let's come back to the Bible passage, Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. Those verses tell us that Jesus, the head of the church, into whose likeness we are called to grow, has given us the resources for our growth. The means to grow. For it's Jesus whom verses 7 to 10 describe as the victorious Lord, the one who died and rose again, and who from his position of supreme authority in heaven pours out gifts upon his church. It was he, Jesus, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. Notice that those gifts have one thing in common. They are all word gifts. The word gift of the apostle and prophet, the word gift of the evangelist, the word gift of the pastor teacher. They're all word gifts, you see, for this simple reason. The word of God is the primary means by which the church grows and the people of God are built up. The word is the source of spiritual guidance the Christian and the church needs to move forwards towards maturity in the knowledge of the faith and love of Jesus. So we have the foundational word gifts of the apostles and prophets. Through this unrepeatable group, we receive the revelation of truth, what we call scripture. that Jesus is Lord and Savior, that we can be saved by grace through faith in him. And that's why we open the Word of God on a Sunday. That's why we make the Bible central during the week in our small groups. That's why we drill down into Scripture with our kids and youth. And why all of us at all occasions seek to apply that truth with relevance to every area of our lives. Next comes the evangelist. Again, like the apostles and prophets, only some have this gift, although every Christian, of course, is called to be a witness. But the evangelist stands between the foundation of the universal church and the formation of the local church as a kind of bridging gift. The evangelist brings the truth of the gospel, proclaims it in the power of the Spirit, and a church comes into being. Now, this proclamation is an ongoing and key function of every local church today. For we are to be proclaiming the truth to society, seeking to have meaningful spiritual conversations in work with our colleagues, sharing and living the convictions of our faith out there in the square mile. Now, that isn't easy, is it, in our culture of apathy? But it's what drives ministry here in Highfields. That's why we've taken on the Dalton Street Project with the council. Not just to provide a meal for the elderly. There are loads of other groups in our society that might do that. I was actually down there on Friday lunchtime myself, enjoying a really lovely cod, chips and peas, by the way. Then bread and butter pudding. Yum, yum. All for £2.50. Bargain. Let me encourage you, seriously, to book yourselves in for a meal and take others with you. Or volunteer to serve at the tables and help around the place. But you see, if we as church, if all we have to offer our elderly neighbours and friends is food for the body, then, frankly, we might as well all pack up and go home. You see, we may want jam roly-poly, but we need the bread of life, don't we? Finally, in the list comes the gift of pastor-teacher. That's a gift for the ongoing life of the church. It's through the work of pastor-teachers, what elsewhere the New Testament calls an elder, a presbyter, or a bishop. It's through that work that the congregation is led, directed, fed, and kept. Through their ministry of the word, the pastor-teacher provides spiritual guidance. They help the church get somewhere and achieve something. But what about that third element which the Willow Creek research suggested was a key means to spiritual growth? Where is the spiritual challenge? Well, verse 12, that's where. It kicks in there. And he gave some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. You see, the church doesn't grow by a few gifted individuals doing all the work. The apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastor teachers, that's just the start of the process. They are there to do what? To prepare God's people for works of service. See, that's the whole body, being trained and equipped, resourced and encouraged to love Jesus, to live and speak for Jesus. The ministry of all the people of God is needed to build the church of God. In the Bible, as many of you will be aware, there is no unhelpful distinction between clergy and laity, or between professional and non-professional Christian. There are appropriately gifted people in place, appointed by Christ, but ministry doesn't stop with them, it flows from them to others. There is throughput, the whole team involved in different ways. So, our pastor teachers, our ministry and small group leaders, our staff members are more like conductors of an orchestra. They don't play all the instruments themselves. They get the whole orchestra playing. They create opportunities for spiritual challenge, for those works of service, and they train people to make the most of them. That's what generates spiritual growth when we are being prepared, trained, and then deployed to use our gifts. Maybe it is a little unnerving at first. And we're not sure that getting out of our comfort zone is a good idea. But you see, that's how we'll grow. So here is the spiritual challenge of this morning. Where are we serving? Because if we're not serving somewhere, we're unlikely to be growing. And if we're not growing, the church isn't going anywhere. Certainly not towards maturity. So I want to say this. I hope with real love in my heart. We must avoid seeing Highfields as a place where we simply come on a Sunday, get pleasantly diverted for an hour or so in relatively comfortable surroundings, with well-organized structures, a spiritual child-minding service for our kids downstairs, meeting people of a similar social class, and then that's it. It's all over and done with until next Sunday. And we jump on the merry-go-round again. We juggle the ball. If the Willow Creek research is right, and I believe it is, we have got to take more responsibility for our own spiritual growth, and maybe that of our families. You cannot expect Highfields to do it all for you. Listen, folks, I can't read the Bible for you. Yeah, I can show you how to handle it. I can give you some of the benefits of my study and prayer week by week. But we've got to become self-feeders. You see, if the only time you seriously open the Bible in the week is when I say at the beginning of the sermon, okay, let's open our Bibles, then we're in trouble. We're all in trouble because we won't get to maturity that way. We won't see the next generation of leaders coming through. I think it's the same with pastoral care in the church. We have great staff and elders involved in pastoral care at various levels. And there's a pastoral team who I met with on Friday after that delicious meal at Dalton Street, another plug for Dalton Street. And I realized as I sat with the pastoral team again, what a brilliant job they're doing in coordinating, caring for, and helping scores and scores and scores of people. And there are many more besides, I know, who as generous volunteers together with staff just get on with the role of helping people in need, supporting and counseling and loving and caring. But you see, none of us on our own, nor all of us together, can meet the vast needs represented by a church of our size now. It's impossible to keep up with everyone and be there for everyone. There are 800 adults on our live database of members or regular attenders. And that doesn't include students, internationals, or people under 18. Now, of those 800, about 50% are in a small group. I think that's pretty good. But if we're really going to care for each other pastorally, then that percentage needs to increase. If you want a positive experience of belonging to Highfields, then you've just got to commit to a small group. But I'd say this, even with those good structures, we cannot personally depend upon the structure to deal with all our heartaches, to comfort us in our sorrows, to solve all our problems. We need to be encouraging each other to keep going, not to the pastoral team, not to the elder or the small group leader, but to the great shepherd of the sheep, the head of the church. For Jesus Christ is the pastor we truly need. His word and his spirit, the means of our continued growth. So I say again, my friends, it is not the size of our budget or the number of missionaries we support or the percentage of people in a small group that matters. Numbers don't reveal the whole story. And if they don't, then what finally are the marks of growth? Look at verses 14 to 16. The first mark of growth is stability. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. stability. No longer infants. It's a mark of children, isn't it, that they are so easily distracted and diverted that they like things for a few minutes and then they're off. They want to try something else. Well, it's a mark of a maturing Christian that they are grounded in Christ, so that when the latest Christian book, which promises to change your life forever, goes on sale, we don't jump at it like children in front of an ice cream van. The mark of maturity is stability. We are not easily blown off course. We know what we need. It's a mark of a maturing Christian community that we don't simply buy the next recipe for success, the next crazy way on how to grow your church from 100 to 1,000 in 12 months. We know what we need. Speaking the truth in love, verse 15. That's the second mark of growth mentioned here. Speaking the truth in love. Instead of being immature, like children running for the latest fad or fashion, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. We can't reach our target, in other words, without truth or love. Because according to verse 16, it's in love that the church grows and builds itself up. Yeah, a love for truth, of course. But also for speaking the truth in love. Now, we are not to polarize those two and say, well, you know, I'm the kind of person who's into truth, doctrine, the Bible, the mind. While others, well, they're into experience and feelings and relationships, love. No, Paul says we need both at the same time. For without love, truth does become hard. And without truth, of course, well, love becomes just soft and flaky. So what does speaking the truth look like? Well, when I can make my point without destroying the other person, when I can affirm someone without necessarily agreeing with them, when winning a person is just as important to me as winning an argument, when people matter as well as principles. You see, the goal of maturity is not a theological system. The goal of maturity is to know Christ. It is relational. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head. That is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So, good people of Highfields, what's it to be? Are we going to become a grumbling appendix in the body of Christ? Or an irritating bowel, or a paralyzed limb, or a clot in the circulation of the church? Or are we going to be team players, a fully functioning, connected ligament, joined to Christ and his people in truth and love, accepting responsibility for our own personal growth, moving towards maturity as I love Christ and the gospel more and more? Our business is growing people who are growing in Christ. That's the business.